This is the fifth day of the March-April 2015 7-day retreat at Springwater. A few weeks before the retreat, there was a what they call an e-newsletter sent out, and it said about this retreat that it was a spring retreat. So on the fifth day, finally, we have a spring retreat. Sunshine, much warmer air, but if you listen, the leftover March wind is still howling in the background, probably to remind us that winter isn't over yet. So a couple days ago in group dialogue, someone brought up a question that I didn't think we really had time to go into. And I'd like to try to do that this morning. If I remember right, the question was, what's the relationship between awareness and suffering? And especially last night, going over this during the sitting, I felt like it needed some looking into, but that I wasn't quite sure how to do this in a talk. I mean, when you look at that question, we talked a lot about awareness. So what comes up is, what is a suffering? What is suffering? And sitting here on this wonderful chair, it seems to have all this energy associated with it. There's not really any suffering here. So in order to look at this, and hopefully to look at it in a non-conceptual way, there's going to be a lot of memory involved. And we talked about memory a few days ago. Yesterday's tape talk that Tony gave, she mentioned that memory or images can have almost as strong an effect on this body-mind as when supposedly they originally occurred. So, suffering, when I look at it, immediately sort of divides into two, and that's the way we'll approach it. One is suffering based on what I'll call physical pain, and the other is a little harder to put a word to, but maybe we can just call it mental suffering, where there's no apparent physical cause. So let's look at pain then. And notice already, suffering and pain, there's two different words being used. And I'm not going to ask anyone to come up and put a knife in my side so we can have some pain here. There's plenty of memories here, and I'm sure that everyone has where there was pain involved. One that comes up is going to the dentist. Seems like everybody, a lot of people get anxious about going to the dentist. And from what I understand, from what I recall, once you get a painkilling shot, and most of the pain is perhaps deadened. My own experience is that I never liked, in those days it was Novocaine, probably lidocaine now, but the injections that the dentist puts in your mouth to kill the pain. Especially when it wore off, because it seemed like it hurt more when it wore off. So, for the last 20, 30 years, when I go to the dentist, I don't get one of those shots. And I haven't had a root canal, so we're not going to go there without the shot. But for like fillings and even crowns. And there's certainly what I would call pain involved. But actually, surprisingly, my experience is that it's fairly brief. That you might be in the chair for 15 minutes with a lot of drilling going on, and maybe there's 2 minutes of what might be called pain. But regardless of whether you get a shot or don't get a shot, there's certainly the pain of the shot. If I remember right, it seems to be painful just to get the shot? So how does this relate to suffering then? And what comes up is that just the act of going to the dentist, before you're even there, just driving to the dentist or going to the dentist, there can be a lot of anxiety, maybe even what we would call suffering. In this case, it sort of gets into the mental suffering. So suffering implies someone that suffers, someone that's in pain. And honestly, it's a little hard for me to recall when I go to the dentist and there's certainly pain, whether or not there's what we would call, or I would call, suffering. But there does seem to have to be this idea of someone that's in pain, someone that suffers. A more recent example, which is maybe for me a little easier to talk about because it wasn't just a 2 minute pain, it lasted several days. And everybody's probably got these type of experiences, but it involved fever. And in this situation, a little over a year ago, I had actually ended up in the hospital because of a high fever after taking a drug that one of the side effects was that it compromises the immune system. So the doctors tend to be very aggressive in treating this. They don't want it to turn into pneumonia or something really dangerous. So anyway, I had a temperature, if I remember correctly, close to 103. And we've probably all been there. It's sort of a different kind of pain because it's not this sharp, maybe intense kind of pain that I was talking about earlier. But still, there's this feeling of being, it's just miserable. The body aches. For some reason, you get chills with a high fever. I've never figured that out, what the body is doing when it's shivering, when you have a fever. I understand about the cold, it's supposed to raise your temperature. But when I looked at this memory of being in the hospital with a high fever, I just remember mostly being sort of consumed by this miserable feeling. And actually, I can recall this was just a year ago. I had been doing this kind of work for 35, 40 years or more. And actually, I'll say tried lying in the bed to feel this energy of awareness that's so present in this room, especially on this chair. And it was not possible Well, let me put it this way. That energy was not there. This energy of awareness, of presence, it wasn't there. There was just feeling miserable. So I think maybe I, and perhaps you do too, might carry around actually images of awareness. Oh, awareness is like sitting in this chair with all this energy. But that's here. But it's not an image. It's just here. So it's difficult sitting here now over a year later to really say if there was suffering going on or if there was some kind of awareness. It just seems like there was this pain. So what can we say in that situation about the relationship of awareness and suffering? And I guess I have to say I don't know. I don't know if there was suffering. I don't know if there was awareness. There was certainly pain. So let's leave the physical pain and turn to the what we call, or what I'm distinguishing as suffering, where the cause is not any immediate physical pain. And I don't have a scoreboard, but my guess is that this is probably much more common. Because in this case, it's not really a question of whether there's suffering or not. There's either suffering or not suffering, and there's no pain sort of involved. So again, I have to take something fairly recent from my own, from this memory that's in front of me, and work with that. So this happened about a little over 5 years ago. And this is so emotionally sort of charged for me that it's difficult even to bring it up. Even to look at that memory. I know if you have some type of traumatic experience and you go to a therapist, they want you to look at the memory, relive it, all this kind of stuff, and there's probably a lot to that. However, at some point, and I think this person is way past that point with this memory, at some point, this intelligence that we talked about a few days ago comes up. And it's almost like it speaking and says, no need to look at that memory. But for now, let's see what happens. So this I had a cat that I talked about earlier when she was a kitten. She was up that tree across from my house. And I think I mentioned she lived 17 and a half years. But the last day that she lived is, I'll say, painful to look at. And in looking at this, let me just briefly say what happened was she had stopped eating, almost stopped moving. So I decided to take her to the vet. And the vet immediately discovered that there was a lot of fluid in her lungs as a result of some kind of heart failure. So I gave them permission to put her in a little oxygen cage, and before they did that, they take fluid out of the lungs. I think they do a similar thing with people. So apparently they drained a good bit of fluid out of her lungs, put her in this little air sort of proof cage with oxygen and some drug that's supposed to have the effect of drying the fluids up. So, I recall being very afraid of leaving her there because I didn't want this cat to die. I wanted to be there when this cat died. Or if this cat died at that point, it wasn't certain. So anyway, just skipping all the details, but basically what happened was they took fluid out one more time and she still wasn't getting better. And they took it out. This was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. She had been there about 8 hours. And the last time they tried to take fluid out, she died. And I was at home 5 minutes away, but I was not there. So the suffering has been, or is, look, not so much actually looking at this memory or image. That actually is what it is. It doesn't really call what I'm calling suffering. But what happens in looking at that is this whole process of thinking and identification comes in, wanting to do something about the fact that she died and I wasn't there. So looking at these memories, the memories are there, but then the mind starts creating all sorts of scenarios where it would have turned out differently. It would have been better not to take her to the vet in the first place. I shouldn't have left her at the vet. I should have come earlier to see how she was doing, and so on. And that's what I'm calling suffering. So it's definitely involves this whole concept, identification with a person that wants something that can't be changed to change. Actually, in the days right after she died, all this stuff that I'm describing came up pretty quickly. Maybe not that very evening, but certainly the next day, all these regrets, wanting to have done something different. So what happened after a few days ago of this, there was this feeling that, you know, the suffering was so intense that something really had to change. And what came up, maybe in the little awareness that was still available, was that all these images of blue were not blue. They're images. And so I'm getting all worked up, not really about my cat, but about images and stories about my cat. And once that was seen that way, it was possible then to let go. So getting back to the original question, the relationship of awareness and suffering, then it's clear in this situation that I just talked about, that the awareness that seeped through all this the intelligence that was still there or is still there not immediately, but began sort of the dissolution of this suffering. So now, there's really no need to go to the image of blue on that last day. There's many other images, if one wants images, that are not going to lead to this closing down of awareness and bringing in of this strong identity, ego, self, wanting something to be different. So I'll stop here today.